That is the Freedom Singers singing the iconic protest song, We Shall Overcome. What does the protest music of today sound like? The annual pop conference at MoPop, formerly Experience Music Project, is looking into these questions. The conference starts today, goes through the weekend. The theme is Sign of the Times, Music and Politics. And one of the moderators is NPR music writer Ann Powers. And also with us, Hollis Wong Ware, poet, songwriter, singer for the band The Flavor Blue. Glad to have both of you here. And Anne, I'll start with you. What is protest music anymore?
Well, really, in the U.S., it originated as part of street activism. And we think of it, we associate it with the civil rights movement and with union activism and maybe more recently with Black Lives Matter or with, you know, in the 80s with ACT UP and Queer Nation. It's what people, what music people make to get them ready, you know, and to be out there in the streets and fighting. And it lifts people up, but it also sends messages for change.
Most people, they hear protest music, and I think their mind goes to, at least people of a certain age, goes to white folkies.
Yeah.
Pete Seeger, Woody Guthrie, Bob Dylan. Before we go on, what's your favorite just from that genre?
Well, it's funny because my favorite from that world really are the African-American folk who stood next to the white folkies, uh-huh. who were often not as acknowledged. People like Mavis Staples and Bernice Johnson Reagan and the Freedom Singers who were right there next to Bob Dylan and Joan Baez when they were at the March on Washington. To me, gospel music, the music of that inspired Martin Luther King, inspired the civil rights movement, is still some of the most thrilling and enriching music to listen to today. I go back to that music all the time.
Hollis Wong Ware, what does protest music mean to you as an artist?
Well, it's interesting. As an artist, I kind of came out of both the spoken word poetry and the hip hop community as a teenager. And so to my mind, music and the creation of it and the sharing of it and people gathering in community to bear witness to it has always been an inherently political act. So I am grateful that I had that foundation as an artist, understanding that, you know, our charge as musicians and our charge as writers was to gather folks together to propel social change. So to that end, you know, I see all musical creation and really cultural production either upholding the status quo or being that of protest, whether that's provocation or otherwise. I think what we see in 2017 and what I've been ruminating on is the idea of music not only being in defiant and staunch protest, but also in kind of this realm of political existentialism, which isn't new per se, but I think has a far more kind of acute sentiment as we enter into 2017. And so to that end, when we think about politically charged or protest music, I think that's also it's important to kind of take the breadth of that and think about what it looks like for people who are creating music that is more personal and kind of deals with the nuances, the uncertainties, the complexities, and often the loss of faith. And I think that's best exemplified through the body of work of Kendrick Lamar, whether that's his bombastic, anthemic movement song, All Right.
We gon' be all right.
I think he's a really perfect example of an artist that is so within his time and is channeling both a bold new vision, but also not being afraid to speak of the uncertainties and the loss of faith that comes with living in today's world.
Kendrick Lamar, I like the phrase political existentialism. And how do you see politics and music coming together in the political moment we're in right now?
Well, I think Hollis is very right to say that there has been a personal turn with political music. And someone like Kendrick Lamar is also looking back to legacies of people like Stevie Wonder or Marvin Gaye, who in their moment, in the moment of their greatest impact on popular music, were doing something very similar, you know, channeling the issues of the world through their own bodies and souls. And Aretha Franklin did the same thing. And so while I think, yes, this is something that's very central now, it also has run through the whole history of music that engages with politics. And it's happening in hip hop. It's also happening in rock right now. One of my favorite bands, the Drive-By Truckers, made an amazing record last year that's all about confronting as Southern men, you know, what is this world we're living in right now? It's so divided, and what people think about the South, and, you know, how do we as progressives live in a time when our region that we love so much is so associated with not progressive politics.
I love that you brought up, we're talking protest music, and you brought up white Southern men and what they're thinking and feeling. What's a Drive-By Truckers song you're thinking of?
Well, a great one on their most recent record is called Ramon Cassiano.
It all started with the border, and that's still where it is today. Someone killed Ramon Cassiano, and the killer got away.
Tells the story of the murder of a Latino man that was from a long time ago by someone who then turns out to be very active today in the NRA, I believe. I may be misspeaking, but big activist for the Second Amendment. So he's weaving history. He's looking at these characters, real characters, and questioning the world that allows for these things to happen. And it's really great.
Hollis, you set a high standard for yourself. You said that you're, if I can paraphrase you, that you're either working for the status quo or you're being defiant. and you're working on a new album. How are you, where are you on that? How are you pulling it off?
Thank you for asking me that. I think from my vantage point, I feel that not to be too self-aggrandizing, but I believe that centering the voices of women in color, women of color in music, is inherently a political act. And so, to my mind, my intention is to always create music, especially within my band, that brings people together with radical inclusivity. We make primarily dance music, and we're really influenced. Our new album is going kind of in a more, hip hop direction, getting back to our roots as rap artists, and also is really intended to set the party off, because I do believe celebration is a political act. I believe it's important for us to gather together in radical community, whether that's in live performance or otherwise, and then to ensure that there is space for all people to feel safe and also to feel included and seen.
Ann Powers, the future of protest music, what does that look like?
I think the future of protest music is intertwined with the future of music in general, which has to do with the fact that the technology is now in the hands of the creators in a more profound way than it ever has been before. Someone like Hollis can work within the conventional system, go into a studio, release on a label, or she could just have friends come over to her house and record something and put it on Bandcamp that day. This allows for music to become a more immediate presence in our lives without the filters of the industry. And I think that allows for people to make political statements that otherwise maybe we wouldn't hear. And I think the many, many, many expressions of resistance that you hear today and even stuff that supports this administration that's out there today, that's just being made by people who might not be classified as working musicians or certainly, not professional or known musicians, is fascinating. It's almost like we've returned to a new folk era, but the instrument is the synthesizer and the computer. The instrument is the MacBook Pro, not the acoustic guitar.
Hollis Wong Ware, when we're talking about radical and defiant, what's some sound that we can go out on right now?
Oh, I think, you know, I would really like to uplift some music that I feel like exemplifies beyond Kendrick Lamar, a kind of the future of protest music, if I may, like Jamila Woods, who is an independent artist, whose song I wanted to shout out, Black Girl Soldier, is, I think, a perfect emblem of what protest music means in today's age. The musicality of it, the rhythm, and also just like the very strong affirmation and message behind it as well.
Ann Powers, Hollis Wongware, always good to talk with both of you, this time about protest music and politics and defiance, and just thanks a lot for this.
Thank you so much. Thank you all.
Thank you. Yeah, she scares the government.
Deja vu of Tubman. You just heard a conversation with Ann Powers, writer and music critic for NPR Music, Hollis Wongware, Seattle poet and singer, songwriter with the band The Flavor Blue. And again, that Pop Conference 2017 starts today at MoPop. That's the former Experience Music Project at Seattle Center. And that goes through the weekend. We'll tweet out a link right now to the full schedule. Join us at KUOW.